well, amen. God can. Praise the Lord for that. If you have your Bibles tonight, go ahead and look with me to the book of Mark in chapter 6. Mark in chapter 6. On Sunday nights, we've been going through, as I've been teaching, on the teachings of Christ. And it's basically a study through the Gospels, and it has been a help and a blessing, I trust. I know I've been blessed in just going through and teachings and seeing it from a little different perspective as the teachings of Christ. And what a blessing the Bible should be and is to all of us. We're in the third year of his public ministry. And, of course, there's been a lot of things take place in the beginning, in the first and second year. And we've been in the third year now for a couple different lessons. And it's a year of opposition. But it would also be the last year before he would go to the cross of Calvary and ascend up to heaven. When Jesus came, he came to establish his church. And he would establish his church through his apostles. When he would ascend up to heaven, he would have prepared them to carry on the church. And that first century church is very tough. And yet it has, they continue to make disciples, and the disciples would make disciples, and the church continued to grow. And it has continued for some 2,000 years now, the New Testament church that Jesus Christ established. But he prepared them because it's his church, he's established it. And it is a vessel that God works through in this New Testament church age. There's no doubt about that. The church is very important. It has always played a strong role in humanity, and it will continue to play a strong role as we come to the end of the church age, and that ends with the rapture of the church, which will, as we even spoke on a little bit this morning, go into a seven-year tribulation when the world will see what the world would be like without the witness of the church. And it will be a very evil place. And Satan will be looked at as God. Evil will rule and reign. And so a lot of things are going on there. But so we've been going through and studying on that. So the last lesson we taught was here as well, right before Mark chapter 6, verse 30 down to verse 44. But he taught his disciples there was the need to rest a while with Jesus. And he pulled them aside because they had no leisure time. The one time you find that in the scriptures, it is biblical. It's a leisure time, and it's a time to rest, but just not to take time off. It's a time that you set aside to spend with Christ. That makes a difference. Instead of vacations, yeah, we take them, and they're enjoyable, but they don't fix anything. Time with Jesus fixes everything. And sometimes we lose sight of that. We have to just spend some time with the Lord. And let him strengthen us. And so that was the last lesson. Now tonight we're looking here, Mark chapter 6 and verse 30. We'll start in verse 30, read down to verse 44. So if you would stand with me, we'll read the word of God together. The Bible says, "And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said unto them, Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while." That's the last lesson. "And for there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. And they departed into a desert place by ship privately." Now verse 33, "And the people saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot thither out of all cities, and out went them and came together unto him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, This is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away that they may go into the country round about, into the villages, and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. And he answered and said unto them, give ye them to eat. And they say unto him, Shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat? And he saith unto them, How many loaves have ye? Go and see. And when they knew, they say, 5 and 2 fishes. And he commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass. And they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. When he had taken the five loaves and the two fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the two fishes divided he among them all. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments and of the fishes. And they that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you once again tonight, we thank you for what we've already experienced and just being in this place. Thank you for this place and your presence here and what is here to be able to minister to all who come through the doors. And now I pray, God, as we have read this passage of Scripture, that you'd help us to focus on this and open up our hearts and our minds to receive and make application of that which you have for us this evening. I ask that you would empower the preaching once again, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. So after a rest a while with Jesus, it's back to ministry. Back to ministry. It's somewhat like my wife and I have experienced as being away for a little bit, although it has not really been away from ministry. We've been able to be a blessing to many churches that we've been in, and I've been preaching at different ones, and it's just been a blessing to be used of the Lord in other churches and other ministries, and also just to see what God is doing around the country. It's just a blessing to see all that's taken place. But back to ministry. Back to ministry. Feeding the 5,000 is what we read here. That's the next event. And yet we find this is in all four of the Gospels. Not every event of Christ is in all the four Gospels, as we even read this morning. Each one gave us a little more insight as to the statements, the final statements that Jesus would make on the cross before he would allow his physical body to die. And that was a blessing. But we'd take all the Gospels so that we could understand all that God had for us in the message we preached this morning. Well, in this one, all of them present somewhat the same in the feeding of the 5,000 men. And that means that there were more than that. There was 5,000 men. There would have been women and children there as well. But there was at least 5,000 men is what the Bible reveals. In verse 34, the Bible says, "And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them." Now again, this is the final year. He knows he is going to be ascending to heaven in just a short period of time. And his disciples would be the ones that would carry on the church that he would establish. And the church that Jesus established is made up of born-again believers. And so the emphasis here was on the 5,000 men and women and children there as well, but the 5,000 men. And how Jesus would work through this in preparing the apostles. And so we find here that he was moved with compassion toward them, the people, because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. As he was teaching the people many things and referred to them as sheep not having a shepherd, the apostles would have been privy to that. There's no doubt that they didn't fully understand what he was doing and how he was preparing them, but they would after his crucifixion and his resurrection, as he met with them and instructed them for some 40 days after the resurrection as to their purpose and continuing the local New Testament church. So Jesus would use this experience to train his apostles. Over in the book of John, and John's account of what has taken place here in the feeding of the 5,000, in John chapter 6 and verses 5 and 6, John reveals that Jesus had done something that, again, Mark did not reveal, but John presents this. In John chapter 6 and verse 5, "And Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company coming unto him, and he saith unto Philip." Now, John is there to record what he was doing and what he said to Philip, being one of the apostles. "When shall we buy bread that these may eat?" And he said, to prove him. Now, John records that Jesus is training his disciples. He is training his apostles. And he asked him, "When shall we buy bread that these may eat?" And he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. But he's preparing the apostles for what he's about to do. Matter of fact, look down to verse 11. "And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to his disciples," mainly the apostles, "and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would." So he presents this, and he has them, Jesus distributes it to his disciples, and then he has his disciples distribute it to the people. Verse 14, "Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did," who's going to be impacted by that the most? The apostles, because they knew that there was only 5 loaves of bread and there was only 2 fishes. And they're thinking, how in the world, and ladies, you can understand this, when you don't think you're going to have enough food to feed people that are coming to your house. You always want to have more food than less food, amen? Because you never want to put yourself in that position that somebody's not going to be able to get fed. And they're coming to your house to be fed. And so the apostles would know that they had 5 loaves, 2 fishes, and they were to take this out to 5,000 men, hungry men, and not only the men, but also the women and the children. But they were going to do what Jesus told them to do. "Then those men, when they had seen the miracle," the 5,000 didn't know, I don't think. They just seen the food trays coming along, and they was told they could take whatever they need to fill them up, which would be quite a bit for a lot of the men in this church, let alone 5,000. That Jesus did. Whether or not the apostles had the basket that Jesus gave them, if he broke it and made it into 12 or whatever it would have been that they would have had to take out, whether if they just kept reproducing inside the basket, or if they would have to go back and after they emptied the basket, go back and he would fill it again, and there was never an end to him filling the basket to be able to take, or if it just kept replenishing as they would give it out, and more would be in the basket. We don't know for sure how that went, but there was a miracle, and the baskets never run out. There was enough for everybody to be fed and to have their fill, and then there was still 12 baskets left over. They knew it was a miracle. They understood that Jesus did and said, "This is of a truth, that prophet that should come into the world." Again, getting them to the place where they would understand that Jesus was the Messiah. He was the Savior of all mankind. So Jesus had them take and distribute because he saw the people without a shepherd. 1 Peter chapter 5. This is what Peter would write. Peter was one that was there. Peter was one that had one of the baskets. Peter was one of the 12 that was taking it to the people. Peter was that apostle that seen Jesus as the Messiah and the miracle that he had performed. And Peter writes this in 1 Peter chapter 5, the elders which are among you, I exhort, whom am also an elder. Now, and that elder is a pastor, is the same position that God has established to place over the churches. And a witness of the sufferings of Christ. And also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Go to Jesus, get what they need, and take it to them. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. God has never called any lords to oversee his church. He's called shepherds. And when the chief shepherd, meaning that pastors, staff, are under shepherds. Jesus is the chief shepherd, and we are under shepherds, we are not lords. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Peter would write this because this is what Jesus had been teaching him. He would not fully understand it until after he met with the resurrected Savior. But after they met with the resurrected Savior in Acts in chapter 1, and for 40 days being instructed by him, they knew exactly their position and what they were to do in order to feed the flock of God, wherever they might be around the world. It's the church. So Jesus would use this experience to train his servants. It's recorded for us to learn some of the very same things. If you look back at our text here in Mark in chapter 6, disciples didn't yet understand. And they didn't want to take the responsibility of 5,000 men. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, "This is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away." They're here, and they have needs, and you have Jesus, and you're asking to send them away. Now, they weren't ready yet. He was training them. He was teaching them to understand the things that God would have us understand even in this 21st century. Amen. That they may go into the country round about and to the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. The disciples didn't yet understand what Jesus could do. Because of that, they did not want to have that responsibility placed on themselves. Some believers, not understanding, they say, "Nah, we're looking for a small church." Now, I understand what they mean. I really do. But they don't understand what they're saying. Never in 37 years of the Lighthouse Baptist Church have I ever viewed Lighthouse Baptist Church as a small church. Can I tell you that I don't view Lighthouse Baptist Church as a large church? I view Lighthouse Baptist Church as a church. It's a true church. Because we have Christ that sits at the head of the church. He has the preeminence in this church. He and his word is the authority in this church. I'm just an under-shepherd. A pastor, yes. A position that Jesus established, yes. A Lord, no. Final authority, no. This is his church. No one should desire a true church to not grow. I've never sat down with anybody and said, sorry, you can't join this church. You have too many issues. You come to this church with problems? No, wait a minute. Now, if you have little bitty problems, if there's a little bitty church, we might be able to handle that. But you come, no, you got to find a big church to go to because you got big problems. I've never said that to anybody. Because I don't look to this as a small church. I don't look to this as a big church. I look to this as being his church. He will build his church. I've never turned anybody away that God has sent to this church. Because I know he can help them. Have there been a lot of people come to this church with a lot of problems? yeah, I think so. Over the years, 37 years, I've dealt with about everything you can imagine. But it's never been me. It's been Christ. Working through me, yes. But it's Christ. And when you start helping people and your focus is on a people with no shepherd and I desire them to have a shepherd, I desire them to be have their needs met, all those who diligently seek him, you will grow. Yeah. Every church member needs to see this church as Christ's church. And anyone and everyone that you have contact with that has needs, you need to see this church as a refuge, a place where they can come and get help, a place where they can come and overcome. Yeah. Not because of this preacher, not because of our great staff, but because of our great God. Because Christ is in this place. Yeah. Jesus lays it out for his disciples to learn from. They said, send them away. Wrong. you're not ready yet for me to leave you. Sure glad we got another half a year or so to continue the training. you're going to see me feed 5,000, and you're going to be a part of that. That's going to go a long way in your training. Amen. He answered and said to them, give ye them to eat. I'm supposed to give all these people something to eat. Yeah. Desire to help people. That's what he's teaching them. Look into them. See them as I see people. For God so loved the world. He loves humanity. He sees people in need, and he has what they have need of. A shepherd. Christ being our shepherd. Desire to help them. Don't send them away. Believe that all who come are directed by God. I believe as a pastor, I'll give an account for how I have dealt with every person that's come through the doors of this Lighthouse Baptist Church. Now, I've actually been used to help people come. I have ministered to many people to get them to come, and we continue to do that. All of us should be doing that. But as a pastor, as a under-shepherd, I'll give an account how I minister, how I shepherd. Everyone that comes. That's a lot. But it's not when I realize he's equipped me. He's equipped me because I have the Word of God. He's equipped me because he's helped me. You have been equipped. If you're saved, you have what the lost and dying world needs, because you know what you had to do to be saved. And there's only one plan that God has for salvation. And you have what a lost person needs to come to know Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. If you've been baptized and you know exactly what a saved individual who has received Christ needs, he needs to find a church that preaches and teaches the Word of God. He needs to find a church that he can be baptized and be able to publicly identify with Jesus in his death, his burial, and his resurrection. We need to find, you know that you have to find a church to be able to be discipled. You have that information, and you need to give that to others that God brings into your life. And even though you might not be able to do all the discipling, you might not be able to help them in their counseling, you might not have everything that they need yourself, but your church does. The church is the key. It continues to be the key. The times that we're living in right now, where would we be if it were not for his church preaching and teaching his word, helping us to see what he wants us to see and understand what he wants us to understand? If Jesus is in this place, and he is, he can help all who are diligently seeking after him. Now, Hebrews in chapter 11, and let me just read this to you. You can write it down, but you possibly even know the verse here. But in the faith chapter that we're looking at here in chapter 11, it says so much about the faith. But then he says in verse 6, without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. Got to believe that there's a God. And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You know there's a God. And you ought to know there's a God. Especially if you've been raised in the United States of America. Need to seek after him, because he is a rewarder of all of those who diligently seek after him. Give ye them. Know their needs and how we can help is the next thing in verse 37, verse 38. They say unto him, shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat? I didn't ask you to do that. He saith unto them, how many loaves have ye? Use what you have by giving it to me and then taking from me to be able to help others. He saith unto them, how many loaves have ye? And go and see. And when they knew, they say, 5 and 2 fishes. And he commanded them how to get it done. But know their needs. They needed his teachings. They had received that. No doubt if they stayed there, they would continue to hear and to see what he had for them. The next day, it doesn't record all that, but he would have taken advantage of every opportunity that he had, all the time that he had to be able to teach them and to minister to them. If you send them away, then they're not here to be ministered to. And they still need to be taught. Understand that they need the word. In order for them to get the word, then you need to feed them. So let's feed them. It's not what they need the most. What they need the most is the word. But as you feed them, then they'll have opportunity to receive the word. He knew what he was doing. He knew how he was training his disciples. They need to know it. Wow. Most do not know what their greatest needs are. They come to church for fellowship. To have someone to do something with. There's a lot of different reasons. They need help in raising their kids. They need this. They need that. All of those things I believe we can provide, but that's not the most important thing that you need. You need truth. Without the church, if you're not hearing the truth, you're more apt to believe the lies of the devil. If you're not in a true church, you're not hearing the truth. You need the whole counsel of God. Not just what you want to hear. Amen. So most people want entertainment for the teenagers. They want this and they want that, but they don't want conviction. They don't want... That's not what you need. That's not what we're not going to provide what you want. We're going to provide what you need. We're going to focus on the needs of people. What are the greatest needs? Christ. Christ-likeness. And once you have that, all these other things shall be added unto you. Acts chapter 3. Very clearly revealed here in Acts chapter 3. And I'm almost done here. I've got to quit. But I want you to see this. Acts chapter 3 and verse 1. Peter, one that was there, and John, another one of the disciples that was there that was taught this by Christ. Acts chapter 3. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. So in his mind, the most important thing that I can get from the temple is alms. I can't work. I need alms. I need money. I need handouts. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, and said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. I'm going to receive alms. I'm going to receive what I think I need the most. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none. But such as I have," do you know what you have? Are you just thinking that people need silver and gold? Are you thinking people need this and that? "But such as I have, I give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." No doubt afterwards he's rejoicing and jumping up and down because of what he got was what he needed, even though he didn't know that was his greatest need. And when he received Christ, he got healed. And instead of just looking for alms, he was able to go out and work and help others and lead others to Christ. Amen. Are we focused on what we have, what people need, and what we have to offer? I'm not saying you shouldn't give people money. If you can and that's needed, but what they need more than that is your witness. Truth about who Jesus is. Wow. They needed to learn to follow Christ's commands. The next thing that they do here, after they said this, go back with me in verse 39. And he commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green acres. Can I tell you that God does things decently and in order? Now he is preparing them to tell them, this is what I want you to do. Follow my commandments and we'll be able to meet all the needs of the people. They sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before them. And the 2 fishes divided he among them all. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up the 12 baskets full of the fragments of the fishes. And they that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. It was accomplished. They had to follow his plans. God knows what we have. He knows what the people needs. He wants us to be used to receive from God, to be able to give out, to meet the needs of the people. And when you do it God's way, expect God to do what you need him to do. They did it God's way. And when they was taking the food out, they seen the miracle of God providing according to his plan. In closing, I want to read to you Ephesians in chapter 3. Ephesians in chapter 3 in verse 20 and verse 21. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Christ in us, working through us. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. God's plan for this New Testament church age is to meet the needs of the people of the world through his church. Understand your part and the church that God has placed you in. And you can help people with whatever needs they have. I could have every head bowed, every eye closed tonight. You see, church, we need to stay connected to his church. And as we stay connected to his church, we can help others to do the same. God can work through you to help all of those that you know are in need of help. Father, we bow before you tonight. We do love you. Thank you, Lord, for the truth of your word and for the teachings of Jesus and training the disciples to be able to carry on the work that we are here to do even today. This 21st century. Thank you for your church. I pray, God, that we would all stay connected and help others. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.